Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Reimagining Cyber. Stan and Rob here. So, Stan, who do we have joining us for this episode?
Rob, our guest today is Doretta Warble, Chief R&D Officer for G2A, the world's largest digital marketplace for digital products such as video games and software. And she's been a driving force in technology development at the organization from day one, and as well has been involved with cybersecurity and what they have to do to help secure their consumers as well as the product side of the house as well. Doretta, I have to admit, I spilled the beans to my son, who is a big gamer, that I was interviewing the head of R&D for G2A. And he was like, "Really? Wow, that is so cool." You know, so it is one of those things where I'm not really into video games. I was when I was young, but no longer. And he is seriously into all types. And he knows all about your company and the marketplace, and he uses it. And so just like, that's one episode I'm going to listen to.
So. I'm happy to hear that, you know. But it is actually a really popular story, you know, in the payment ecosystem. Many people, you know, they didn't heard about us. And then they are asking kids or, you know, siblings, and then they discover that within that group, it's actually a well-known brand.
Yeah, so I was impressed.
Hey, Doretta, whereabouts are you calling from?
Right now in Poland, but I'm living like half in Poland and half in Italy, half here.
Wow.
Nice.
I have got a project that my daughter should speak Italian as well.
And where are you living in Italy?
Close to Rome in the place called Ostia. Oh, actually, you know, the whole G2A is working remotely. So we are in different places. Our marketing CMO is in Tenerife. Our CEO is in Netherlands. So many people in Hong Kong. So it's like a...
Just doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, you know, cappuccino is different everywhere. But the work that has been done, it actually, you know, doesn't matter where you are, right?
And G2A has just grown tremendously, right, over the last decade. I think, did you guys get started in Europe?
Yes, we started in Poland, then we decided to expand into Europe, and then we decided to expand everywhere.
Yes.
So one of the things I'd like to jump into with you, Doretta, is the journey that you've taken, because again, you've been there from the beginning at G2A, and just how rapidly things have evolved for your digital marketplace, again, from a global aspect as well. But kind of be precise on the portions of cybersecurity and building cybersecurity in as you were really, again, transforming, but also quickly evolving and scaling what you needed to support. Obviously, the marketplace is rapid growth. So maybe you can talk about, again, the kind of the cybersecurity elements throughout that journey. That would be helpful for the audience.
Sure. So we started in 2010, and G2A was a regular online store with video games only. We observed a new trend to move from box distribution into the world of digital. In 2010, almost 70% of the market was physical. Nowadays, it's about 5%.
Really? So, it's that kind of a difference between where you started and today.
Exactly. And we quickly realized that e-commerce shop has some, I would call them, limitations.
Yeah.
So that is why we decided to start a two-sided market-based business model in 2014. And at the beginning, the idea was that everyone can sell digital gaming items on our platform. Later, we changed this approach and decided that only registered businesses can sell, thanks to which we were able to significantly improve customer service.
Did you do that because you started having some abuses of those that weren't known quantities? Is that why you had to register?
Actually, because they were not treating customers as they should. And
we got
difficulties in having customer service on the level that we wanted to have.
Gotcha.
And Today, we are a globally recognized brand with more than 200 regional payment methods. And I am the type of person who is very curious. So I registered, you know, on all the marketplaces that existed at that time, from Amazon, which everyone knows, to Mercado Libre in various South American countries, to Asian sites like Taobao and Lazada. And these experiences have helped us build a platform for digital items.
So you just basically look at, let's look at the whole panoply of what everybody else is doing, and sort of like that was your research and trying to figure out, well, what works best and how can we possibly emulate the best practices.
Exactly. And what would work for the digital items? Because those marketplaces, they are
they do both, right?
Mostly with the physical stuff. Right. And we were, you know, trying to find out what are the perks for the digital product. And that's why we became a marketplace only for digital, digital stuff.
What were some then of the cyber kind of security elements that you kind of came across right through that learning, but then what are the things you had to take into consideration and start building in for your side?
Yeah, and in particular, I think that we discovered that the products delivered within minutes can be vulnerable to outside attacks, right? Much more than physical one. And one of the ways for us to increase our security level is working with top security companies on the market like Akamai, Qualys, and Just. For example, we are covering the security of customer journey from the start to an end, or covering the protection from chairbacks with help of Just, but also technology is helping us a lot. As we are two-sided marketplace, from the buyer perspective, we are covering, let's say, cybersecurity by helping those users to be much more aware of the dangers within a digital environment.
So one of the things, Zarada, as you're talking, that I'm trying to kind of connect the dots on is you've discussed from the digital marketplace, you have the buyer and the seller side, right?
Exactly.
So obviously in any sort of digital marketplace, there's concerns relative to fraud. What are some of the things that you've put in place to help identify, first and foremost, potential fraud, right? And then what are the other things that you've been able to actually extend that will help reduce fraud within G2A's environment?
So the first step is ensure that offers you can find on the marketplace are safe as possible. The most critical ones, focusing on vetting the sellers themselves. So our seller had to go very strict 100-factor encompassing business verification process before they can start selling. And even after that, they have to present a proof of purchase of any item they put on put up for sale and can sell only after it's been verified.
So you're going through steps to make sure they're when they're authorized sellers, your buyers know that you've gone through a big process to make sure that they're trustworthy. And then you're looking at the lineage as far as those items that they're selling to ensure that whatever that item might be is something they can truly sell.
Yes, exactly. And as an expert in starting selling on various marketplaces around the world, I think that our process of onboarding sellers is really difficult. You know, I also often came across criticism, but at the same time, I think that digital items are more demanding in terms of safety because they are instantly delivered. And this is why we do not allow here any compromises. And many marketplaces think about how to offer, you know, same day delivery. We don't have that such problem. We have got 1 minute delivery. And our main concern is how to secure both sides of the transaction. So from one side, how to protect buyers, and for the other side, how to protect sellers, because sometimes buyers, they are trying to abuse. They are getting the product that they wanted, but still they are claiming chargeback.
So when you're looking at the impact of regulations to the security aspects of your marketplace, which regulations are relevant and how is that shaped your evolution as far as the security controls you're putting in place?
We are working with many PSP providers, and that also means making sure that our marketplace standards are up to the security requirements. And in order to keep those partnerships up, we undergo regular audits by them and their auditing representatives like Deloitte or PwC, which confirm that we are trustworthy and safe, and for them to entrust their partnerships with us. Of course, there is no marketplace in the world that isn't at risk of attempts at fraud. In that area, G2A has a very good track record with the global marketplace fraud rate lower than global average compared to the global average of 3.6%. We are a member of many organizations that search and implement new security solutions, like the Merchant Risk Council or Cross-Border Commerce. And we treat AI as the first line of defense in our security infrastructure to help us detect vulnerabilities before they lead to harm. However, I am a big fan of hybrid model. So from one point, we are relying on AI technology and solutions, but I also believe that the human touch is really important, because fraudster and people who are, you know, trying to harm others in the digital space, they also have emotions, and only the humans can, you know,
detect that. Yeah, humans might be better at detecting that. So you augment your AI ML kind of driven controls with human interaction, and I guess you also are outsourcing some of those security functions to external providers to help you with the security of the security posture.
Yes, but we still have got a big internal team of cyber security specialists who are monitoring, and we really focus on monitoring what is going on with every transaction on marketplace, looking at the anomalies and trying to find out the behaviors behind, being sure that, you know, we are well protected. So looking for anomalies, it's one thing, but also, you know, any suspicious activity to help us quickly determine an appropriate course of action is important, because this is also, you know, in line with some trends. And in digital business, you need to know also the trends, the industry trends, to see what kind of type of products are, you know, trending, what early adopters are using in terms of new payment methods, and so on. So we are trying to be up-to-date with all those factors.
So the use cases, Dorota, you're talking about specifically are on the assisting in the detection of anomalous behavior, fraud, and being able to respond faster. Are you applying AI or ML in other areas beyond the, you know, detection and response side of the house?
Yes, we are also using that in terms of KYC process, and we are trying to adapt, let's say, purchase paths in order to see where we should, let's say, put users into additional steps in order to be sure that they are not fraudsters, etc. So
step up, sort of step up authentication, yeah, in a sense.
Yeah. And we have highly trained and committed internal teams from the technology department, cybersecurity, and fraud prevention. Those three, they have already started implementing some plans to address potential threats. But we believe also in terms of threats to the local payment methods with a simple and intuitive payment path. What we see, let's say that those payment methods are getting much more popular, and Big Zoom will gain the trust of buyers, and in the future will capture the majority of the payment market for one-off transactions. And for the returning customers, we are trying to tokenize payment options such as PayPal, Venmo, of course, Google Pay, Apple Pay. This is our kind of
part of the challenge, right? You're providing all these payment options, but you have to make sure each of these options are truly going to be trustworthy for the both sides, the both parties, and you, right? And that nobody ultimately is scammed out of either the products they're trying to purchase or the money they're due for that digital item, right?
Yeah, and in at let's say as a last point, I would say that we heavily invest in systems to monitor, right? To be like monitored everywhere in terms of transactions in on every market, being sure that we have get data instantly from every market in the world when we process transactions.
Makes sense. Well, Dorada, we appreciate you coming on and sharing kind of digital marketplace aspects of what we've not covered in the past. So the rapid growth you had to go through, the global aspects of it, the regulatory pressures, right? The fraud elements you've touched upon, what you're doing today and where you're going next with the power of AI from both the good and the bad side of it we discussed. So we appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you very much. It was really nice to talk to you.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Dorada.
Hello, producer Ben here. And as you've just heard, online payment security is essential for success as an e-commerce company. But how safe is payment security and what are the payment system cyber security solutions? Well, Reimagining Cyber episode 66, How Does Payment Security Work, is the place to turn to if you want to find out more. It features Dan Fritchie, CISO at RSI Security. He has security and compliance expertise that spans over 20 years. Here's a clip, and you'll hear him use the acronym PADSS. In case you don't know, that stands for Payment Application Data Security Standard.
In that sense, and they're getting more specific, right? So, yeah. You know, I would have said in the past, PADSS was built on top of a network security standard, which had some inherent problems because you're trying to look at an application from a network perspective. And so This clears all that up. It refocuses, like I said at the beginning, on the way that application security is done differently today than it has been in the past, and it allows for the development process to be looked at as well.
That was Dan Fritchie, CISO at RSI Security. Thanks for listening. We have some great guests coming up over the next few weeks, so be sure to make a date with Stan and Rob every Wednesday when the episodes come out. The best way to do that is to follow or subscribe to the podcast. Goodbye.